Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We teased this segment, saying we're going to talk football, and then Key from L.A. said, football! So we've decided to talk more baseball because of Key from L.A. Just kidding. But Key from L.A. tweeted that, he texted that in after we already gave away the tease. You know what, Key from L.A., get out of here. Get on with yourself.
You are out of here!
Can't say let's talk football after we teased football. Plus, this is an L.A. Charger football. You don't want to stick around for this anyways.
Yeah, we're not talking about Kyle Tucker till later.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
What a weekend he had.
He had a bad weekend.
Didn't do much.
Houston Restaurant Weeks is back August 1st through September 7th. Think of it like a citywide all-star lineup. Hundreds of restaurants, prefix menus, and every time you eat, you help out the Houston Food Bank. Dine out, do good. Check out the full lineup at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. Great spots. Very good prices and delicious food. I also wanted to do that read while Ochona was playing out. I thought it'd be really nice.
I think that was a good call.
Yeah. There's Tex-Mex places.
There is.
That people might enjoy on Houston Restaurant Weeks. So, yeah. Awesome. All right. Houston Texans signed a backup quarterback, Joe.
Yeah, they did.
They signed a third-string quarterback. Brett Rippon is the new QB3 in Houston. I thought it was going to be the old man from BYU. He actually got signed today.
I saw it like, right away.
Was it Washington? I think it was Washington because Mariota's hurt. Yeah. I think it was Washington. Yeah, they signed Hafner or whatever his name is. I thought it was going to be him. But no, Brett Rippon is your new third-string quarterback in Houston. Houston, we have a quarterback! It's Brett Rippon. He is the nephew of a former Washington great. Was it Mark Rippon?
Mark Rippon, yeah.
That's what I said.
You asked the question.
I did. You're right. But what kind of impact is Brett Rippon going to make on Houston? 713-780-3710.
Would have really liked a development quarterback, but whatever.
So here's my theory. What if Rippon's just here until they cut down to 53, and then they cut Rippon and then sign a young guy? I think this is what you said.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, so like someone, you know, Dylan Gabriel or someone whoever comes available, and then you go get him. Then this is just a body that knows the playbook a little bit.
He does?
They said he has Nick Kaley ties.
Yeah, because he was with the Rams for a couple of years.
Oh, he was on their practice squad or whatever?
No, he actually started games.
Rippon?
I think he started games when Stafford got hurt.
Was that the year that they had Baker? And they started, you know what?
I think it is.
I think Rippon started the game that Baker came in.
Maybe
after they signed him that week.
The details are fuzzy. I just remember he started like one or two
sure
games.
I'm pretty sure that happened because that was on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was Rippon.
He went.
And they pulled Rippon like after a series.
Yeah, he played in two games. He started in one. He went 18 for 38 for 172 yards. Only one interception.
And then got benched for Baker.
And then, yeah.
18
yeah.
for 38, Baker, not a good look.
That was a Thursday game.
Yeah.
Baker got signed like Monday.
Yes.
And then relieved Rippon.
Yes.
And was the bulk guy.
And they won, didn't they?
He was the follower. Yeah, he led a comeback drive in the final possession.
Yeah.
It was like a low-scoring game.
That was
he didn't
like
do much. But
Baker
yeah.
Mayfield's back.
Yes.
Into the NFL.
It was. It was like his statement that I'm here. I'm not a bad quarterback. Carolina's just inept, which turned out to be kind of true. But so 53 or not for Brett Rippon?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think he'll make the 53. Now, I do think there's a chance he could be practice squatted and
stay
with the team, like to be a good veteran in the room. They talked about how smart he was. They talked about how good at holding a clipboard he is, how helpful he is in the quarterback room. I prefer your theory, though, of, hey, you're here until they cut down to 53. Then we're going to sign a young developmental quarterback that maybe will be Davis Mills' backup, but no guarantees. Because this is the final year that Davis Mills is under contract. Now, will Davis Mills sign a third contract to be a backup quarterback in the NFL? Decent chance.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. He has to show out maybe over the next 2 weeks.
It doesn't seem like he really wants to be a starter.
No, he might just like the life, man.
Which is a great life.
It's a great life. You're making millions of dollars. You might play twice a year.
Yeah, don't get CTE.
Like, yeah, you might hit by Will Anderson at practice occasionally.
Nah, he might get touched. They're not bringing him down.
No, you're right. They're not. Like, it's a pretty great. It's probably the best job.
Now, tomorrow against Max Crosby, maybe.
Yeah, he might get crushed tomorrow.
Max Crosby might bend the rules.
But yeah, I mean, I could see him coming back.
Max Crosby notably doesn't like white quarterbacks. Got into a fight with Kirk Cousins.
That's true.
So look out, Davis Mills. Jalen Knoll has another ailment. He was on with SiriusXM. Streston's tweeted this out. D'Amico with the update on Jalen Knoll. Here it is. Everybody's
Jalen
favorite wide receiver.
Jalen is doing fine, man. He's battling a hamstring injury right now, so we'll get him back in a couple weeks. But he's had a really good offseason, just a little minor setback. He'll be fine, ready to go.
This guy's made of glass or what? He got a little hamstring issue? He broke his pinky?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, he's obviously going to be on the roster.
You think so?
Might start on the pup.
That's my question.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah,
like,
that's
certainly not cutting him.
Yeah. I mean, that's very possible. He could be pup at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
And then
I don't know if it's a guarantee the Tank won't be there.
And there's a short term IR too, right? Where you can bring a guy back.
I think that the pup right now is actually season ending. But whenever you cut it down to 53, you can place him on the IR.
On the IR,
and they don't count on the 53. Yeah, and you only get 8 designations now.
Yes,
I think it's 8.
And you're only minimum out 4 weeks, so it's very possible. But as other guys are performing well on this roster, just even when he does get back into the fold, like, you know, if Wayne has a good camp and Hutchinson seems like he's having a good camp, and if Tank Dell gives you anything, I just don't know what his role on this roster is going to be. They were hesitant.
Knoll?
Yeah, Knoll.
I think he'll be your main slot guy in 11 personnel.
I would hope so, but, like, he's not out there.
Who plays more snaps, Tank or Knoll?
I would say Tank.
I'm going to bet on Tank.
I think it's going to be Knoll.
I don't know, man. They didn't even seem to like him last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, he didn't know which way to run.
And he's had – I know D'Amico just got done saying he's had a great offseason, but he's not practicing. Like, I don't know if that improves.
Tank's not practicing.
Yeah, but
– he's going through some 11-on-11. The thing, like, being a slot in this offense, it's very difficult to be a slot in this offense. Because the slot in this offense is almost reading defenses like quarterbacks and running into certain areas based on the coverage they're getting.
Yeah.
So, like, is Knoll in year two going to be better in a slot role in this scheme than Tank Dell basically in year one, not really a slot guy in this scheme?
You would think so, but I'll give the benefit of the doubt of the guy who's we've seen make a big impact on the field. Right? And I know big injuries coming off of two with Tank Dell, but – like Brian said, like, they wouldn't play Knoll last year. He'd have these breakout moments, it felt like, and then it'd be like, okay, is Knoll going to start playing more? You get to the snap count next week, and he played less.
He got out-snapped by a fullback in some games.
Well, they wanted to play a lot of 12 personnel.
Do they not want to do that now? They just
but
they
how
just
does that lead
made big additions
on the field.
At tight end.
That is a good counterpoint to Knoll, but it does not help your argument with Tank.
But I think Tank can play on the outside,
yeah,
too, though.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think Tank's going to be the backup outside receiver to both Nico and Hutch. But is he going to get on the field more as a backup outside receiver than the Texans play 11 personnel? I think it's a coin flip.
Yeah, it's definitely close. I don't think it's going to be a wide margin, whoever's right or wrong here.
No. It's going to be interesting to follow. And it might, I mean, you know what it's going to come down to.
If Tank gets hurt.
It's going to come to either one.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to which of the two stays healthy would be the winner of this question, I think. But I like the Texans receiver room. I've seen some people saying that they should try to sign a veteran because of Tank's uncertainty, because of Knoll's uncertainty. I'm not there.
I think they like Hutchinson and even guys like Justin Watson, who they've brought in.
You think he's going to make the team?
If guys are starting the year on the pup or the injured list.
He'd fill in?
Yeah.
I have them. I think it's going to be a 6 or 7. I'm sorry. I think it's going to be 6 or the one more than 6 that they keep on the Texans depth chart.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Nico.
Yep.
Assuming health. I think it's going to be Higgins, who's going way too early in fantasy football drafts now, especially the ones over the weekend. I think it's going to be Xavier Hutchinson, who they actually have listed these three guys as starters. I think it's going to be Tank. I think it's going to be Jalen Knoll. I have Jared Wayne higher currently than Lewis Bond.
Okay.
But if they keep 7, I think it'll be Lewis Bond. Okay. Or if Tank or Knoll starts off on IR,
yeah,
then Bond takes that spot. I think Watson's behind both of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's with Bond, it's just, do you think they try to stash him? Or do you think someone would scoop him up?
I don't know.
If they put him on the practice squad?
I think he's a tweener.
It might just depend on how he performs. Like, if he shows out in this next preseason game on Thursday night, when there's only 2 games on, like maybe it shows up in a big way, and he can, that's a guy, okay, well, he has to be on the roster, because if we don't, then...
Plus,
we're going to lose them.
Everybody likes their receiver room right now, you know? Unless you've had like a bunch of injuries, you like your receiver room right now.
Yeah, everyone feels
they know
like
the
likes
system,
it.
They know the scheme, they know all that. Like, I don't know if Lewis Bond's a guarantee to be picked up on somebody 53.
No, it's not. It's not.
But I think they like him.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see him on the roster.
Would you rather go Lewis Bond or Justin Watson?
Lewis Bond.
Would you rather go Lewis Bond or Jared Wayne?
Lewis Bond. I like the unknown a little bit, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Like, I know those guys aren't good.
Wayne or Watson?
Wayne.
So I think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Maybe we flip Wayne and Bond, but keep both if they keep six. It's interesting they have Jalen Knoll listed as their punt returner and kick returner on their depth chart.
He's not actively doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting to me.
I think the more interesting one is who the backup punt returner is.
Yeah.
Tank? Yeah. I don't like that at all.
Like your punt returners listed right now are Noel Tank and then Brandon Codrington.
I wonder if they just went like the guys on the roster that have the most punt returns on the team and they just listed them on the depth chart.
Okay, to be fair.
Because I don't think that Tank Dell is going to be returning punts.
Let's say neither of those guys are healthy week one. Who is returning punts on this team?
Might be Lewis Bond.
That can make sense. Like they have Woody Marks as
especially
a third
kick returner. Especially if they're on the IR because it opens up a roster spot.
Yeah.
So Lewis Bond had one punt return that I watched film on that I thought he looked pretty good.
That would make sense. That he could be the guy who does that, and that's his way out of the roster.
He didn't do the east to west stuff. Yeah. Xavier Hutchinson returned a kick. It made me sick. I threw up a little bit watching him return a kick.
Not fast enough for that.
It wasn't even the speed. It was like homie missed a hole and just ran straight to the left.
He's a blocker.
Why is he returning kicks then?
Great question.
It's preseason. Who cares? They were just getting a taste. But he's not a good kick returner. I think he did it a little bit last year, actually. I don't know what they see in him. Junkie says Tank 2 games max. I don't know why y'all say that. They're just trying to hurt my feelings. All right, NFL stuff over the weekend. You see Witherspoon, he got paid?
He did.
He got paid. What does this mean for Stingley? What does this mean for Lassiter? Also, there is a running back with an ankle issue. Shout out to LaFleur.
Yeah.
And then there's a new edge rusher in Dallas. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
With Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
This gets me every time. Sounds like a mailbag Monday music. Mailbag one. Sounds like it.
It does sound like
it. Disagree.
It's not it. But.
I mean, especially if you haven't heard it in a while. Just boom. Whatever. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Sweats of the day. Deportivo blew a 1-0 lead. Cost us the money line at plus 120. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Never bet on Deportivo. They really let
you down. That's a great point.
Thank you, Cal. Now, we did get some good news on Wrexham and Midriff City.
Okay.
Got some good news. Midriff City scored an equalizer in the 8th minute of stoppage. Leveled the match at 1-1, which is a Wrexham fan I hate. We didn't get the full 3 points. But as a better, not only do we win the under 2.5,
mm-hmm.
win a unit there, but we hit the plus 250 on the draw. We're back, baby.
We needed it.
We're back. That's a great start to the week. 2.5 units for you boys. 2.5 units for you if you were playing along with us. So we start the week with a 2.5 unit win. That puts us at 3.05 units on the year, boys.
Okay. What do we got tomorrow?
Hopefully soccer. I don't know the slate like the back of my hand. Oh, and by the way, my preseason action on the underdogs, 10-5-1.
Okay.
Which, these are getting plus money, 8.6 units.
There we go.
After 1 week?
Nice. There we go.
8.6. And people, you got a problem if you're betting on the. No, you're a genius if you're betting on the preseason because you know that the underdog's got a better chance than the value, and you'd be up 8.6 units. And if you had a big unit size, then you could be up a lot of money. Oh, you got a problem if you're betting on preseason. No, I understand value and where to exploit it.
Yeah, and you're exploiting it.
I'm gonna get killed this week, I bet.
Yeah, you are.
I wish you had the numbers
from last year.
I think it was about even.
Was it?
I think it was like a slight win, but I think it was even. Yeah, I don't remember it being significant, but I don't remember me losing. I want to say, and plus I wanted to do it again. I want to say that I won, but I don't think it was big. I think it was like 2 units maybe, if I had to guess. I could go back and look, but I got a lot of transactions between now and then. What were we going to talk about? Oh, we are going to do a fantasy football league on the show.
Yes.
Now, we're not going to like give you a trip to the Nugget or anything like that. We're not Hall of Famers here.
No, we're not.
We're Wall of Shamers. But here's what we're going to do, a Premier League style. We're going to do Premier League style. And we want to do this on Sleeper, y'all said?
Yes.
So
yes.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to do a 12-team league for all three of us. Joe's going to have one. I'm going to have one. Brian's going to have one. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be for many years. Hopefully, you know, when we get fired, we'll do a professional thing. We'll hand it off to whoever replaces us. But so we're going to do – Joe's going to have a 12-team league. I'm going to have a 12-team league. Brian's going to have a 12-team league.
Yeah.
And then after this season, we're going to start our promotion and what is
relegation.
It called? Relegation. To where – so the top four teams in Joe's league, mm-hmm. top four teams in my league, top four teams in Brian's league will then be in the Premier League of Jeremy and Joe.
Yes.
Or whatever we want to call it. The middle four teams, whoever finishes fifth through eighth, will be in the middle league. Second league, we can call it. And then the bottom four, we're either going to put in the last league or we might just kick them out and get fresh blood.
Okay.
So we might do that.
I'd vote fresh blood.
Okay. All right. We'll do fresh blood. And also, if you're inactive at
you're
any point.
You also voting for that?
What if
you get
one
kicked
of,
out?
What if one of us is in the last
league? Oh, we're permanent members.
I just, it was just.
No, that's a good question.
No, I just had a follow up.
I did think about
okay.
that.
Well, I guess, yeah. And what if we win one of our leagues? Are we just.
We're the winner.
You know, I don't want to know, but we were going to promote like the top four from each one. So I guess we'd have to go.
No, we're going to have to find a new league.
Okay,
we'll have to find no, because if we win, we can't be in the third league.
Okay, so okay,
we'll have to find somebody else to run it.
I don't know if year two we're going to separate us out into three different leagues again.
No. Wherever we fall, we fall. But we're always members of whatever we ever want to call this the. I don't know. European
don't know.
Fantasy League. Somebody else can come up with a name. We're not creative. Junkies are way more creative. 713-780-3776. And, like, it's not going to cost any money. So this isn't like a Matt Miller thing. Like, we don't want to get sued and then try to drive into oncoming traffic.
We're not going
to
lose an arm.
We don't want to. We don't want it to cost you an arm and a leg. We don't want to lose an arm. So it's going to be free. Now, Joe, maybe we can do some giveaways to the winner.
Yeah, we can do that.
Top of the table.
Yes.
I don't know if we plan on doing the ESPN Listener Appreciation Party every year.
We do. We've done it for 3 years in a row.
So maybe we just give the champion of each league
mm-hmm.
an automatic pair to the Listener Appreciation Party.
And a
t-shirt. We can pull that.
And a t-shirt. So there you go. So if you win the league and we have an ESPN Listener Appreciation Party,
yeah.
you're going to get a t-shirt and
which we'll
admission.
Have one next year.
Now, if we don't have it, you're just getting the t-shirt.
Yes.
But you can't get mad at us because it's free.
Yes.
You don't come at us. It's free. So we're going to start this. Joe wants to do it on Sleeper. Brian wants to do it on Sleeper. I don't have Sleeper yet, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, you can figure
how
it
are
out.
The drafts on Sleeper?
I think the setup is great.
Like how long of time can you put on
the it's highly
draft
picks? You can do anything from like 30 seconds to 24 hours. It's highly customizable. Yeah.
So we can do like a 6 hour per pick or four hour per pick?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we want to get this started as soon as we can, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So if you want to do it.
So just contact us. How do you invite people Sleepers into your leagues? Do you have to do email or phone number?
Brian?
I think it's email. Or if they're already on Sleeper, you could just send them an invite directly through Sleeper. But I think if they're not on it, I've done it through email.
Okay. So send us your email.
Okay, so you have to, are we making people qualify in any way?
You want a qualifier into this? I'm just trying to get 36.
Yeah, we need 36. Let's not overthink it here.
We need 33.
What kind of qualifier do you
want? Oh, we need 33.
Okay. Yeah. Great math. Joe
checked us
that was
on
a math
bang!
Trick. Well, it was 36 in the. In
man
the,
of the people. Boom, and shakalaka. A math problem.
Boom, shakalaka. He's on an eater. His August splits are through
Joe,
the roof.
You're the man.
So, do we just want people to send us their information?
Yeah, text, DM, whatever.
So text, DM your email address, and then we're gonna try to set this up by this week. Maybe we'll get the draft started like on Saturday or something. No promises on the time. Busy week, but send us your info, just your email.
Yes,
send us your email, and then we're gonna worry about you know getting you into our leagues, and then it's gonna start the premiership. I guess we can call it.
And first come, first serve. If you like to pick whose league you're in, we can do that too.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, all the leagues have to have the same settings though, right?
Yes. Yeah. But like if you're like I
can you do best ball leagues on Sleeper?
No. I looked
you
for
can't?
This idea.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't find it.
That
would have
been perfect.
It. Yeah, I couldn't find it.
I think you can.
All right, let's look. If you can do best ball, we'll do best ball.
I've seen that setting come up in my anyway, we'll talk about off air.
If we can get best ball, we'll do best ball. Do we wanna set up any other like point structures here?
I guess the only real questions is what's our PPR and what are passing touchdowns worth? Because those are the two big differences.
I like six-point passing touchdowns. I really don't care about PPR. I don't care if we have it. I don't care if we don't have it. I'd probably go
6-point and then half PPR.
That sounds good to me.
Sure.
Are we doing defenses?
Nah.
Are we doing kickers?
No. Nah.
If we can do best ball, we're going to do best ball because it's zero roster management.
Yes. If we can do best ball,
we're going to do best ball. If we have to not do best ball, we'll have to not do best ball.
I'm going to have to go back through this
what they're
later.
Saying. But we'll figure it out. People coming in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Good. So next year we'll start our promotion delegation. This year we're going to set it all up. But there's still going to be something on the line here. It's only at the top. We're not rewarding second place. We're not rewarding first loser. Now, if top four do get the premiership, middle four get the middle ship. The bottom four get kicked out ship.
Yeah. See you later.
And then we'll find some new blood next year.
Okay.
Unless it's us, of course, because it's our league.
Yeah, we have to stay in it.
We're permanent fixtures until we're in the bottom and we get demoted and we no longer work here.
Yes.
That's when we'll be kicked out. All of the above.
When the league shuts down, we're out.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. What'd you make of Witherspoon? Let's carry this over to the next segment. 713-780-ESPN. Witherspoon paid. Seattle pays their corner top money. What does this mean for Stingley? What does this mean for Kamari Lassiter? Are we looking at a fork in the road where the Texans have to make a decision? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. So Witherspoon got paid. He got paid real human monies. He got paid a lot of real human monies. 4 years, $132 million. $101 million guaranteed. Makes him the highest paid cornerback in NFL history.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Price of poker, too. Like, no surprise, Witherspoon got this. I like how he was handling his business, too. Like, was out there practicing, doing all that. You know, I respect that. The question that now is out there is, like, what do you do with Lassiter? What do you do with Stingley? What is going to happen whenever it's time to pay up Lassiter? And then Stingley's also going to be up for a new deal before you know it, too.
Yeah, it's definitely – it's a great problem to have. I think you can pay one. Because I think Lassiter is going to play himself into this contract. Like, is he going to be the highest paid cornerback in the NFL? Maybe not. But I think if he's not, it's going to be right there with the market. Like, I don't know if he's going to reestablish himself as the number one guy. But he very well could this offseason. And I don't know how you have one and two on one roster, right? It's the same thing. It's like the Bengals. The Bengals probably made a mistake paying both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase top of the money wide receiver market. It's too much money invested into one position group. So I don't think the Texans can afford to do that at corner. One of them's got to go.
Especially when they have so many other good players.
Yeah.
Like, you can get away with it whenever you're superstars and scrubbies and you don't have a deep roster. Whoever they pay, like, they have Will Anderson. Like, Will Anderson's making a lot of money. What do you do with Stroud at some point? Like, I don't think that you can employ both of them whenever they're both going to have top dollar. So the question now becomes, which one are you going to try to keep? And obviously, I want Nick Caserio to do the whichever one you don't keep, you trade, and you get something in return, which Nick Caserio has proven to do that. Now, not with a player to the caliber of either Stingley or Lassiter, unless you include Tunsil in that mix. I would not. He traded Tunsil before he wanted a new deal and got a new deal. He traded Titus Howard before he got his new deal. So the Texans and Caserio, which I admire this. I like this a lot about Nick Caserio, is he's willing to trade a player maybe a year too early, then keep him a year too late. I'm fascinated to see how they handle the corner spot because I think he's going to do that. I think he's going to trade Stingley or Lassiter, whichever one they decide not to keep. Maybe a year too early. And I think it's probably going to irritate people, but I think it's the way to go.
I think it's absolutely the way to go.
So which of the two?
Stingley.
You're keeping Stingley or trading
Stingley?
Trading Stingley.
Because his contract is already established, right? And so he's locked up. That can be the next team's problem of redoing that contract. And you talk about this team and the questions like, how do you make this roster work with the contracts that are in place? Because you got a very expensive contract. Well, if you get the return that the Jets just got next offseason for Derek Stingley Jr., two first-round picks?
For Sauce.
For Sauce? Like, if you can get that for Stingley, that's the guy I'm trading. I'm also, I know things have gone well so far. I'm kind of hedging a little bit here on Stingley's health.
Yeah.
Of, you knew what it was in college. There's been moments in the NFL where it's like, what's going on with this hip injury? He's played through it. He's been tough as nails. He's swarmy.
He's been banged up.
But like, I'm taking the flyer on that. I don't know his medicals, but I'm going to bet that maybe there's some long-term concerns because of what happened in college with the plantar fasciitis and everything. So I'm trading Derek Stingley for two first-round picks, and I'm paying Kamari Lassiter $30 million.
When?
This offseason.
You're doing it this offseason?
Yeah. I want two firsts. Okay. The longer you wait, I feel like the less you're going to get in return for.
Now, Lassiter's under contract through 27.
So you could wait.
So you could wait a year, you but does wait. That diminish the return on what you're going to get from Stingley?
Yeah, and like, and I'm going to trust maybe the free agency moves or draft moves that this front office would make and this coaching staff would make that, yes, you're not going to have a Stingley in return, but no one thought Lassiter was going to be this guy.
I kind of want to wait an extra year. I totally understand where you're coming from, but I just love the defense so much. I don't want to break it up. Yeah. I want to keep it together as long as possible. You can't pay both and Will Anderson on the defensive side of the ball.
And Kalen Bullock's going to be coming up, too.
Yeah, I don't know if Bullock's going to break the bank, but he's going to factor into this conversation, yeah. Sure.
I mean, and that's why I think there is another path where, like, you could say, okay, Bullock is a no. Petrie is gone. Aziz, at that point, you could probably trade.
Danielle Hunter will be off the books.
Danielle Hunter will be off the books. So, like, you could deplete the defense elsewhere and bet on your front office and your coaching staff to build up everything else and have your lockdown corners.
Can you pay three top-of-the-position players, two of them at the same position?
Not if you're paying your quarterback. That's the other thing with this that changes everything.
You'd have to go bargain. Not bargain, but you'd have to go not $60 million your quarterback.
No, but like if
you go
like
40.
Yeah, I mean
50 even.
Or
could be a Nico trade.
Yeah, and like, I mean, and like if you trade Stingley this offseason, it just gives you it could give you flexibility and things you could do around the quarterback position that you previously weren't strong enough to do. Where like you could take those two first-round picks plus your draft capital, and you could say, okay, we're picking 25th. With the 12th pick is X team that doesn't need a quarterback. They just didn't win this year. And you could do the Mahomes thing, what you could do with what you did with Watson. You could trade up. You could go get your future quarterback. It gives you some flexibility. So, like, I just don't see how you could pay three top-of-the-market defensive players. And really, you might have to anyways, because I think Ryan's right. Bullock is not going to get top market safety money, but he might get close. And if he's a turnover machine this year, he could get that, too.
Especially like, you might when have you know Casario's M.O.
Yeah, like he likes to pay his guys.
He pays his guys, and he pays them early, and he pays them at the top of the market.
So you're with him on the Stingley?
No, I wouldn't trade Stingley. I just that's
what would you do?
I just want to run it back. I would.
I think at some point you have to make a decision on one or the other.
Yeah, I guess I would look.
I think.
I mean, I'm not good enough at you know capology to know exactly how they can make this work, but like we've mentioned it. I mean, Aziz, I believe, has 2 years left. Toa, obviously much smaller contract, but he has 2 years. Danielle Hunter's going to be coming off the books.
Yeah.
The defensive line, other than Will Anderson, doesn't really have any money invested past you know this year and next. So I think there's ways to make it work, and then you just have to hit on your guys in the draft, that defensive line and linebacker.
I think you run it back in 27, and you make the decision in the offseason of 27 going into 28.
Yeah, I'm fine
That's
with that.
How I would want to play it, just because I love the defense so much. Now, I mean, could be dictated based on your performance this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, worst case scenario, Stingley has like an injury riddled year and you know, you get him for, you know, you have to trade him for way less than what his value is currently. Top safety money is 25 per year. Now, I don't think Bullock will get top safety money because you're talking like Derwin James, Kyle Hamilton, Kirby Joseph, Antoine Winfield, shout out Atascocita. I think he went to Atascocita. Maybe the Woodlands. I think it's the Woodlands. I think Bullock would be looking somewhere at about 20 million. That next wave, I don't think that Bullock could ask for top safety money.
No, but what is top money? What does top money look like though at that time? Because it might also change.
It might. Maybe the inflation of it gets to 22, 23. I don't think he'll get paid more than Derwin.
Yeah, I think you're right. Probably.
I mean, but he's had 9 interceptions in his career. Like that's obviously his big splash of what he brings to a defense. You know, five his first year, 4 last year. I mean, if he drops 7 interceptions this season, he's going to have an argument. Like, if he's that much of a game-wrecking player as a turnover, you know, machine, he's going to make a good argument to why he does deserve that money. Like, I think it might be a notch below.
I feel like you could get – I would rather keep the corners than the safeties just because it's way more important.
I agree. And I think they've done a really good job showing that they can go find guys. So, like, it's impossible to keep them all.
If you ask me, I want to keep the cover guy, though. I would rather have Stingley.
Okay.
Now, their age, the injury part is part of it. And then I like the guy who's stickier in coverage. Now, I don't think that the Texans will go that way. I think the Texans would go Lassiter just because he's, like, swarmy.
Yeah,
he hits hard, and they like guys who tackle. And Stingley was drafted before D'Amico got here.
So he's not like a...
Like, I think he is a D'Amico guy, but he wasn't originally a D'Amico guy. You know, does that influence it? Maybe not.
Maybe still be a Casario guy in that situation.
Could. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think they love...
I mean, he's Casario's first round pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know if that buys him a little extra, but it can't hurt him.
Yeah, I think Casario's pretty transactional.
Maybe.
Like, he likes his dudes, don't get me wrong. But I think if it was, okay, who do you want more, Lassiter or Stingley? And D'Amico's like, I'd rather have Lassiter. I don't think Casario would have any issue with that. I don't think he would fight back, you know?
Maybe not.
I think they have a really good relationship.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see where this roster is at, how much talent they've brought in. And, like, it's a great problem to have. But at some point, like, you can't keep everyone. And you're going to have to make big swings and misses or big swings to, like,
can't keep everyone
to fill this roster spots. I look at this year and like all the early projections are, and I've asked Lance if I'm crazy or if they're wild, but, like, you know, there's Leonard Moore sitting out there. He's Notre Dame, I know, but, like, he's a
always
top
comes back. To Notre Dame.
I know,
always does.
But he's a projected top 5 pick right now. But that's before all the quarterback stuff comes into play.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
a guy like that could slide into the end of the into the top 10. Or into the early, you know, 11, 12, 13
early teens,
range.
Maybe.
And, like, that could be where if you trade Stingley, you could then have the capital go up and get the best corner in a draft this year if you're that aggressive for it. I'm not opposed to running it back for one more year.
But Casario's pretty aggressive, I think, when it comes to player movement. Like, he traded Tunsil pretty early, traded Howard pretty early. I mean, if there was any smoke to the Nico Collins on draft day. Like, I think it's in play that he can move on from Nico this offseason. I think it's in play he can move on from Stingley this offseason.
Yeah, it 100% is.
I would probably punt it a year.
That's probably – I see your point with Tunsil and why
Titus,
am I blanking?
Titus.
Yeah, Titus. But to me, that's a different caliber player. I mean, because Laramie was going to be coming up for a new deal, plus he was getting close or either already was on the wrong side of 30. Obviously, Titus Howard's not nearly the player at his position that Kamari and Stingley are. So I don't know if I would take that as an apples and apples comparison. Like,
maybe
I don't know. I don't know if we know that he'd be willing to do that with the upper echelon on his roster.
Maybe not. I think decision day is coming, though.
It is.
You know,
is.
And is Casario forward thinking enough to understand that? I think he is. I think Nick Casario is pretty forward thinking enough to understand that at some point he's going to have to make a decision and that he'd rather do it a year too early than a year too late.
Yeah.
That's where there's no other example of that. Like, that's why I point to Tunsil and Howard, because there's not really been an example of a good starting caliber player that they're like, okay, see ya for free. You know?
Yeah, they really haven't had to because the quarterback's been on a rookie deal.
So I agree with you that it's not apples to apples. We just don't have any other comparison.
Right.
And you can make the case that Laramie Tunsil is on par with Nico relative to the position.
Age-wise, no, but...
Age-wise, no, but
where they rank
relative to the rest of the league at their position. Mm-hmm. I mean, Laramie Tunsil is a top 10 left tackle at the time of when they traded him. Nico's top 10 wide receiver currently. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be good problems to have, though.
Yeah.
Like, woe is me, the tech, it stinks. Okay, well, go remember the David Culley days. Like, go remember the Lovie Smith days. Like, this is
a
good problem to have.
Analytics has those things out
this
there.
Is a good problem to have. Now, whenever we get to the second wave of this, because the Texans have their foundation here, you know, what does it look like in the second wave is going to kind of be the second chapter of D'Amico Ryans, right? Hopefully the first chapter, though, ends with the title.
Yeah. I appreciate that you called it a wave and not a window, because we don't know what windows are.
Yeah. Well, the wave kind of, you know, I think it's got better, you know, motion, flow.
Sure.
People do
flow
hate,
is better.
People do hate the wave, though.
Well, you hate the wave.
I saw a new I saw a new ride at SeaWorld on my TikTok. There was a roller coaster called, like, the Surf or something. It looked kind of fun. Looked pretty fun.
Where did that come from?
It was looked like a wave. Oh, okay. Like the surf, you're riding
right,
the wave.
I'm with you.
And my TikTok
algorithm.
That was
algorithm. A little ADD there.
I got a lot of roller coaster on my TikTok algorithm lately.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it that time of the year? You going soon?
No.
Oh.
I don't think I ever want to ride a roller coaster again, in fact.
You're just out on them?
I mean, if Branham Baby told me, like, hey, let's go ride a roller coaster, or Branham Kid, I'd be like, okay, let's do it. But would it be my choice? No. It would never be my choice solely to go ride a roller coaster anymore. I've retired from that decision.
I don't like roller coasters.
I would do it to sacrifice as a father.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like roller coasters as a kid?
No.
Really? Oh, see, I loved roller coasters as a kid.
Another reason?
Yeah.
I didn't like that I wasn't tall enough to go on them, so I didn't like roller coasters.
Is that why you didn't join me at Galveston?
Yeah, I don't like them, and then I realized I don't like heights.
Oh, okay. So. I don't love heights.
So I'll go on them if you know.
The thing with roller coasters.
Joseph wants to, I'll do it. But
the thing where I'm okay with roller coasters heights is like it's constantly moving. I don't like staying there.
That's fine. Yeah, I understand that.
The dungeon drop back in the day? I rode it. I hated that thing though. Because you just like go way up and they just like leave you there for like 10 seconds.
And then they drop you a little bit.
Or even
right?
Like the space needle. Like I'm nervous getting to the side on the space needle. But roller coasters, because it's in constant movement, it doesn't bother me. But like you get me at the top of a very building, I'm like hesitant to go to the window.
I don't know why. Like Dana wanted to go to the there's the building in Chicago that has the glass walkout.
Oh yeah, I did it. Oh. I did it, but like I was crawling.
I didn't like it though.
Oh, you couldn't do it?
I did it, but I was like, I don't like this at all. And it was a windy day, so the whole building was like moving.
Oh yeah.
And then you walk out and like this is trippy.
Me and my buddy Screech did Chicago like 10 years ago maybe, and we did that and I was like crawling to the corner. Like I'm taking a picture like scared, like,
it's hard to get a good photo because everyone's just kind of like I don't like this at all. I don't like seeing the ground below me.
Like the people that there was a girl who was like 8 who was doing like a somersault into the glass. I was like, oh.
If that was my kid, I'd be grabbed by the pants. Yes. Like, we're leaving, dude.
I forgot about that. She did a somersault and then put the feet on the glass and took a picture at like a 45-degree angle. And I was like losing my mind. I was like, please don't fall to your death.
Ooh.
It was very, very scary. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Phil, the Woodlands, we'll get to him on the other side. He wants to talk Stingley Nico. Milo on a mobile is on the line. I don't know why. We're talking football. We'll get them whenever we come back. We'll talk some college football here in a little bit as well. We'll hat tip a little bit as well a little bit later at some point. ADHD show, you know. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. To the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, talking football, talking contracts. Junkie saying you guys are having end-of-year conversations already. Well, it's sports radio. What do you want us to do? We're localizing a big NFL topic. It's Radio 101. We're having the end-of-season conversation today before we know the outcome of the year. If we're making the Super Bowl definitely in the conversation, then all the numbers change, bear off if we don't. Well, now you're having the end-of-season conversation with us. You've now joined us in the end-season conversation. 713-780-ESPN. Wheatstraw, you can check my TikTok, Jeremy J. Branham. What were y'all's favorites Astroworld roller coaster of all time? We had a top five. We did it already on the show, Wheatstraw. Jeremy J. Branham. Y'all would make horrible crane operators. You're right. That, I respect the heck out of you. Corey, I love roller coasters. I miss Grease Lightning at Astroworld. It did stall on me one time at the top of the loop. That sucks. I didn't remember it getting stuck. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Phil from the Woodlands. You're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's going on, Phil?
Hey, guys. I got to go with the Viper on that one. Reason.
Throw Phil away. Throw him off. Throw him off. He's kicked out.
You are out of here.
You know what sucks about that? That's a move that I had to make that I didn't want to make.
I was like, we don't do that very often.
You know, but I really wanted to hear what Phil was going to say. But sometimes you have to make a boot whenever you make a boot.
Yeah, you got
to
do it.
Like whenever they say you screwed up, you automatic ejection, you know? Like there's certain things that are automatic ejections. You don't want to do them, but because they're automatic, you have to do it because you have to, you know, the sanctity of the ejection has to be upheld. That was one of them. And what stinks about that is I really wanted to hear what Phil had to say.
But sorry, Phil.
Maybe texted in Phil from an alias.
I mean, Viper's not wasn't the best one.
The Viper sucked.
I don't know if it was a check.
The Viper was absolutely it was. The Viper's better than Grease Lightning?
No.
The Viper's better than the Texas Cyclone?
No.
The Viper's better than Ultra Twister?
No.
Ejection worthy. Better than Serial Thriller?
No.
Better than Batman Returns?
No.
No one in their right mind would say Viper is the best roller coaster at Astroworld. That's why it's an automatic ejection.
Yeah.
But what really sucks is I really want to know what Phil is going to say.
Sorry, Phil.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
It's a great what-if story.
And Phil, I apologize for that. But that is just an ejection take. It's an ejection take. 713-780-ESPN. Never been more disappointed in Phil in my life. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Let's see if this helps. Milo on a mobile. You're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Milo? All right, throw Milo out, too.
Oh.
Milo's not ready.
You
Holy Toledo, he's not ready for the call. Whoa. Milo Wee, not ready to make her take. What was that word you taught me the other day? Posthumanist or whatever?
Posthumous.
Posthumous?
Posthumous.
Just posthumously threw up Milo.
Over the top like it's the Royal Rumble.
Ow. Son of a gun, Milo. Those were ejections I didn't want to make.
Yeah,
they made them themselves.
If you're not going to talk.
Those weren't my ejections.
Yeah, you got to go.
That was Philip from the other Woodlands ejecting himself for saying the Viper was the best roller coaster ride at Astroworld.
I don't even
know.
But
Milo posthumously gets ran because he's not ready, Holy Toledo.
Nope. Brett screwed Brett.
What a call. Oh.
There, we just got it.
What a delay of game. Whoa.
All right. I'm sorry. I was going through the fantasy list.
Are we full?
Did Junior Bronco DM you?
I don't think he gave me a fake email.
Okay, then we have two spots left.
713-780-ESPN. We have two spots left for the, what do we call it? The junkie? The junkie?
The dozens and dozens of junkies.
Oh, yeah. The league's called the dozens and dozens of junkies. Joe's going to have his dozen. I'm going to have my dozen. Brian's going to have his dozen. And then each year we're going to have a top dozen.
Yeah.
The premier dozen.
Yes.
The mid dozen.
Yes.
And then the bottom dozen.
Yes. And the bottom dozen out.
Yeah. I mean, well, first year.
Yeah, the first year.
The next year, if you're in the bottom dozen, the bottom four get booted.
See ya.
Kind of like Milo and the Woodlands guy.
R.I.P.
I don't like that I made those ejections. Yeah, I felt gross. But they did it to themselves.
It's part of life.
Can I please have a spot in the fantasy? You got to send us your email. The teacups were pretty tough to write also. Can we set a record for ejections today? That's something we need to track.
We've, what, three today?
That's three.
Yeah,
that was three.
Three.
We had Key. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a record, though.
No.
What would you say the record is?
At least five.
Well, I was going to say at least four or five.
You think we've had five?
Yeah.
At least four.
That's what Mike Clay looks like. We had Mike Clay on the show the other day. I was on our TV screen. I did not know Mike Clay looked like that. If I knew he looked like that, we wouldn't have had him on. He's way too handsome.
That's why we had him on radio, so he can't outshine us.
Your ODD is showing, your elementary behavior coach. That's probably valid. Phil from the Woodlands, I deserved it. Oh, this is not Phil from the Woods. This is Philly from the Woodlands. I deserved it, but in all fairness, I didn't do half of them. Oh, he's a little scaredy cat. Brandon's got an itchy finger today. F1 is back. Dutch Grand Prix Sunday. Let's go, Kimmy. That's this week coming up. Dude definitely got something on the Viper. Stingley, Lassner, and Anderson to the core of a Super Bowl team. I'd do basically anything to keep those three together. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be super tough. Can I get a one-day ejection? You got to earn it, though. People ask for ejections. You got to earn an ejection. I called and talked about the teacups. The last time y'all talked about roller coasters, I would have called it in, but I didn't want to get kicked out of there. You're smart. There's another one. Excalibur number one, that's ejection worthy, but we're not going to do that again. Oh, there's another good one right there. I think we're full. But you can, if we like you, we might give you priority. 713-783-3776. Yeah, but you can text in. I don't know what we're going to do. All right, let's tip a cap. 713-780-ESPN. I feel like we need to do something positive after I've ejected multiple people. I didn't eject them. They ejected themselves. But who are you tipping a cap to, Joe, after this excellent weekend in sports? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Fantasy football season is here. Maybe we'll have to do our fantasy drafts at Twin Peaks because it's the best place to go and host your fantasy football drafts. They got the 29-degree draft beers, all the games going on, whether it's baseball, football, whatever it is. But at the lodge, you need to host your fantasy football draft party. Commissioners get a $50 Twin Peaks gift card when you schedule your draft over at Twin Peaks. So round up your league, grab a table, and get ready for the picks, the rivalries, and a full season of bragging rights. Whether you're defending your title, drafting for the first time, start your fantasy season at Twin Peaks, where cold beers are there, made from scratch food, and wall-to-wall TVs that makes your local lodge the ultimate draft day headquarters. Book your fantasy football draft party now at your local lodge, Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
ESPN 97.5.